Brilliance Audio. Rotten to the Core by T.E. Kinsey. Performed by Elizabeth Nolden. Chapter 1. The hedgerow along the lane was alive with birds of every shape and hue as we walked into the village in the Monday afternoon sunshine. All of them were contemptuously ignoring the tabby cat, stalking hopefully along the road in front of us. She flicked her tail as the smaller birds flitted above her, and once dropped into a low prowl as a blackbird landed nonchalantly on the road to peck at the base of the hedge. The cat wound up to pounce, and I would have sworn the blackbird rolled his eyes as he lazily flapped away. I fancied it was the same one that had visited us in the garden a short while before. He knew us, and was sure that we would share his low opinion of this inept predator. The cat, meanwhile, had resumed her tail-flicking walk, as though she had never been interested in catching birds anyway. "Is that the doctor's cat?" asked Lady Hardcastle, as we watched her hop through a gap in the hedgerow. She cast us a disapproving look as she disappeared, as if she considered us responsible for her failed hunt. "It looks like it," I said. "She has a butterfly pattern across her shoulders. I have always thought of it as an infinity symbol." "Have you? Have you indeed? Well, I always think of it as a butterfly. Ever the poet? It's the Welsh in me. Did you know that butterfly in Welsh is gloienbio? It literally means living ember. How could I not be poetic with ancestors who thought like that?" We reached the end of the lane and crossed the road to the village green. A couple of young men, watched by a gaggle of gawping children, were busy dismantling the stage that had been hurriedly built beside the cricket pavilion for the village show the day before. Even though lunchtime was well and truly over, the tables outside the Dog and Duck were still busy with farmhands taking their ease in the last few days before the harvest got properly underway and their free time disappeared. Our route took us past the tables, and my friend Daisy, the pub's indefatigable barmaid, gave us a cheery wave.
"Afternoon, Flo. Afternoon, Lady H. I can't stop, it's bedlam out here. Will you be in this evening?"
"Possibly," I said. "I think we're having a quiet supper at home, but we might be persuaded to come out."
"I might see you later, then. Ta-ta for now."
She hurried back to the bar with her tray of empties. We carried on to the little parade of shops and in through the open door of the grocer's, where Mrs. Pantry, the shop's owner, sat on a stool behind the counter, sipping a cup of tea. She looked up as she heard our footsteps on the wooden floorboards. Despite the stifling heat, she was draped, as always, with her heavy woolen shawl, her hair wrapped tightly in a thick cotton scarf.
"Good afternoon, Mrs. Pantry," said Lady Hardcastle, breezily. "And how are you this fine day?"
"Hot," said the grocer.
"It is a trifle warm, isn't it? Does it affect your stock at all?"
Mrs. Pantry was a curmudgeonly woman whose low opinion of the upper classes always clashed with her desire to make a profit from anyone who came into her shop. On the few occasions when Lady Hardcastle had accompanied me there, I had never been entirely certain whether she was intent on trying to win the grumpy shopkeeper over or just enjoyed teasing her. Hilda Pantry was impervious to teasing, if teasing it was, and answered honestly.
"The butter is on the turn, and them chocolate bars won't last another day," she said sourly, indicating the wooden box behind her containing bars of Fry's chocolate cream.
"I can let you have two for a penny."
I never bought chocolate, but I'd have been surprised if the bars were more than a halfpenny each, even when they weren't melting into their wrappers.
"Not today, thank you," said Lady Hardcastle. "I was wondering if you have my chemicals."
With a sigh, Mrs. Pantry heaved herself up from her stool and stooped to rummage under the counter. She re-emerged a few moments later and plonked a pint bottle and a phial on the countertop. They were of blue glass, and the larger bottle bore a maker's name below the neck.
"Absolutely splendid," said Lady Hardcastle. "Thank you very much indeed."
Mrs. Pantry held on to the bottles.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?